Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Loading the Bar podcast. This is episode 62. Again, in for Parker today, I'm Brian Keller, and as always, my co-host, or Parker's co-host, Matt Wasko. Matt,
hello.
How you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm feeling violated at the moment.
I'm over here, so you cannot do not file a workplace complaint on me. I'm sitting over here. How do you feel violated?
I got some mice in my garage.
Well, is that better than ants in your pants?
Yeah, apparently it would be, but I was not very happy. I realized it when our cat kept this sitting at the door. I'm like, at the garage door.
Okay, right. Okay.
And
to go out into the garage from the house?
Yeah, and she just sat there. You know, she'd never done that before. She's just sitting there and sitting there. I go, what are you doing? And I'm like, maybe there's something in the garage, because you know how animals sense each
mm-hmm.
other. So I look outside. And I'm looking around, and this is a couple of days ago, and I see the $150 bag of grass seed I bought had two holes chewed into it and was all over the garage.
Oh.
Yeah. This, like, a big mess I'm going to have to clean up.
Well, I think the mice were trying to tell you something about your yard, Matt. I think they were like, hey, dude, it's time for you to take some of the seed outside.
Yeah, 100%. So I wasn't happy about that. Now, that's a big mess I have to clean up. And so then that was in the middle of the week. I'm like, okay, I'll have to get this taken care of. Couldn't get to the I didn't see anything. I looked around, didn't see anything, right?
Right.
And then the cat yesterday was sitting again at the garage door. So I immediately, see if I can catch him. I opened up the door, and then I saw two mice scurry off from the grass seed. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
You should have just let your cat go out there.
Yeah, well, my wife doesn't want me to do that. And I was like, why? Just let her go. She wants to go out.
Right. Let her go do a little hunting.
Yeah. And so I ordered two humane, quote-unquote, mouse traps to put it down.
What, to kill them slowly?
Kill them slowly.
And not snap their neck immediately to where that snapping their neck isn't humane. That's like they're not going to feel it coming.
You know, I love my wife. Okay, we're both conservative.
Here we go.
When it comes to
here's
animals,
the disclaimer.
When it comes to animals, she is a little too much of a softy. I love animals too.
But, I do too. Know. But if they're pests like mice or something, you gotta. I mean, I agree. I am too. I'm one of those guys that you see a turtle trying to cross the road, I'll pull over and try to get it because people want to run over innocent box and water turtles thinking that they're snappers, and snappers are, you can definitely tell a snapper from any other turtle.
Yeah. Very different
looking. But people don't care. They still want to run over them. So I'll reach out and I'll try to stop, you know, I'll go out and try to, get them off the highway. So I am the same way, but if they're mice, that, I mean, that's a different story. Mice are a real pesky pain in the butt, and you got to get them out of your house, whether they're in your garage or inside.
100%. Yeah.
So, all right, before we get started, let's make a, We need to clear the air on a statement I made last week because I opened my mouth and inserted my foot really bigly.
Bigfoot.
So the Chiefs are not playing the Ravens this week. I realized that after I had said that. And we are playing the Eagles today. So I'm giving Matt an opportunity to reassess his score and who's going to win, and I'm going to reassess mine, and then we can revisit it for, you know, I think the Baltimore Ravens game is, I think, week four this week. So we have another couple of weeks. So what do you want to do there? Who do you want to go with this time around? It's the Eagles. Defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, who, remember, kicked our arses pretty good in the Super Bowl last year. And they have pretty much the whole team coming back.
I got to go based off of patterns. Chiefs tend to step to the plate in big games. Sometimes they kind of underplay in, like, last week You know, they didn't really, I mean, I don't know. I saw signs of greatness, but there was also signs of issues in that first game, mm-hmm. right? It's hard to really gauge right now how good they really are. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to be honest, I'm gonna pick the Chiefs to lose.
Okay, by what?
Where is it at?
Arrowhead.
Okay. Ooh, that does change it.
Yeah, pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it is at Arrowhead. That I think I do have correct.
All right, I just got to bite the bullet.
But here, let me take a look. Actually, you know what? No, I'm 99% positive, but I'm going to go ahead and double check so I don't put my foot in my mouth again.
But yeah, we got to be accurate on these shows.
Let's correct. I know. That's why I wanted to come in and restate my statement from last week and apologize. So, yeah, it is at Arrowhead at 3:25. We're playing a primetime game on Fox, I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
What time?
3:25. So it's the prime time this
prime
afternoon.
Prime time, yeah. Boy, that is a tough one.
It is.
I'm gonna probably. I don't know. There's times, Patrick. Last week was kind of a nice sign. He had three plays that were magical moments.
Uh-huh. And typical Patrick Mahomes. Moments,
I mean, and we didn't see a ton of that last year. Mm-mm. So that was a good sign. Maybe he looks rested, you know, to make those kind of plays. So I'm actually changing my mind. I'm going to go Chiefs.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Chiefs 31-28.
Okay. Well, so I like the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs are typically fast starters every year, right? They usually come out of the gate hot, and last week, a little over a week ago now, they did not. I mean, they came out flat very first game. I know that we are under the gun on the receiving side still. Rashee Rice is out for six games total with his suspension. Worthy, I don't think, is coming back. I haven't heard this week, so I don't know if he's playing this week or if he's out another week. So those are our top two receivers.
Yeah.
So we are light on receiver. We did address our issue on the offensive line in the offseason. Still looked like Patrick was under duress a good part of the game mm-hmm. last week.
Right.
Even with our fix. And again, it was week one. But this is, Jim Harbaugh has a good pass rush, looks like. Looks like his defense is going to be pretty good. Eagles is even, I think, if you want to say that his is good, the Eagles are even one notch better.
Yeah.
And we still have, this week, I think Jalen Carter is going to end up playing. I think he just got he got fined some money for spitting at Dak Prescott that first game, but didn't get suspended, I don't think. So he's going to be in there, and that kid's a beast. I think the Chiefs are going to right the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't see it this week. They're going to get it, but unfortunately, I think they're going to go 0-2 to start the season, and I think it's going to be 31-20 Eagles.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, that's why. I mean, if it was at the Eagles, I'm probably putting a little bit on the Mahomes magic that he's going to figure something out because there's been times that's just what he did.
Correct.
And but on paper, yeah, this could be a loss.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm right.
Well, no, I hope I'm wrong about my score. I hope it's the Chiefs. I hope it's the Chiefs, but I just don't quite see that week two is going to be the week where they turn it around, and then that's going to put them really in some bad statistical areas to make playoffs and Super Bowl appearances if they start the season 0-2. But they still can make it, and I think that they will. You know, Andy Reid, you can't ever count him down and out, especially when he has a quarterback like Mahomes.
He's
a generational talent. You can't you just can't. But I think they're going to be 0-2.
All right, well, before we move on to the next subject, there's something I want to make sure we do each and every week, and that is the Loading the Bar podcast is being sponsored with this space by Anytime Fitness here in Lee's Summit.
Right.
And so every week we get the pleasure of Jeff, the owner here, allowing us to sit in this beautiful space and record this podcast. And we need to, you know, I need to do better about thanking that on the show.
You must have had a talking to, Matt.
No, actually, I didn't. I'm kidding.
But you're exactly right, though. Jeff deserves, he deserves the free plug, so to speak, because this is a free space out in the open. And as you can see, I mean, from where the camera's point of view, you only get to see a small portion of the gym.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, it is a very nice space to have.
It is a very nice space to have. And we get the beautiful sounds of the gym in our background, and it's just worked out really nice.
I really like those people grunting in the background while we're doing our podcast, yeah.
The only thing, every once in a while, we'll get someone that's really, really loud that we have one. We have a couple people here that can deadlift like 500 or 600 pounds. And they don't set it down. They drop it down.
Right. Well, and today's a good day for not being able to hear that, I would think, because we're actually podcasting on a Sunday today rather than a Saturday. So it's actually really kind of peaceful in here this morning.
It is kind of peaceful in here.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Jeff, thank you.
Yes, Jeff, thank you.
Truly appreciate the just the openness to and the willingness to have us out here appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, I would if we could vote for best gym owner in town, I'd put Jeff on that. Okay, so before we get into this next topic, I want to kind of preface this a little bit. Now, this happened. This show is a health and wellness show, as you know.
Yes, but we also stretch it out to a few. I mean, we're devout Christians, all three of us, so it gets extended to the spiritual side some.
Yeah. And every once in a while, an event or situation or dramatic event of some sort.
A transformational event.
Yes. Happens in the world, in the country, that it needs to be addressed because it comes along the lines of freedom.
Yes.
Right? And
absolutely so.
You know, without certain freedoms, this podcast can't even happen.
Right? A lot of things in this world, in this country, wouldn't happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that being said, the other side of this, I know we have leftists, liberals, libertarians, conservatives.
Should I say libtards? No, I won't say that.
Don't say that. That I train, I've worked with, I have friendships with, I have conversations with. Mm-hmm. And because of who I am, that I treat them just as well as I would treat someone who's like-minded.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
And we have great conversations. Uh-huh. And so that being said, I wanted to just address the concept of this transformative event that took place. It was a horrible, horrible thing that happened.
So you are referring to the assassination of Charlie Kirk?
Yes.
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 Just so everybody, I'm sure they realize where you're going with that.
Yeah, but yes, 100%.
Very, very, very horrible, horrible, horrific, uncalled for. There's not enough words to describe the how horrible it was. I'm at a loss for words because it was just horrific and very uncalled for.
I mean, I would just give you a little backstory. I was at, I was having shoulder therapy. I was having light treatment done on my shoulder, and I walked out of the clinic. And as I was leaving, I got a message on my phone about a shooting. And so I went to it, and there was a video. And I watched the video.
Very graphic.
Very graphic. And I was just like appalled. I was like, and I thought, well, they killed him. Well, they hadn't reported him as dead yet.
But looking at the video, you could almost guarantee that's what had happened.
Yes. Yes. So, but yeah, I mean, and that was my exact thought. There's no way he survived that. It was just.
He lost a lot of blood.
Lost a lot of blood. And when you hit the jugular like that, Your time of being saved is minutes, right? And there was no way they were going to get him there in time. Mm-hmm. So, Anyway, so I watched that, and I, you know, the first video I saw wasn't completely clear on, because it was from a distance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, did they hit him? Because it looked like he went back. It was like from some ways back. And then I looked at another angle and I said, oh, it was.
Oh, it popped, yeah.
Yeah, it hit him right in the neck. Mm-hmm. So that being said, you know, horrible. I was devastated. Followed Charlie from the time he was 18 years old.
Great kid.
Great kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my kid's 32. I have a 30 and a 32-year-old.
I think that's about what, wasn't Charlie in his early 30s?
Yeah, 31.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's, you know, just talking about ideas, right? He's, mm-hmm. you know, change his mind, a persuasive type of platform. That being said, what alarmed me even more was the celebrations.
Oh yeah, those people that celebrated need to be charged with something. You don't celebrate that. That's to me, I think that's an extension of inciting violence. That's I mean, because they're celebrating the horrific nature. That those people that are celebrating, Matt, are too far left to understand and reason with anything middle of the road or anything. They have lost their ability to reason about anything if they're celebrating that.
Right. And what happens is that the reason they go down this road and they lock into it, in my opinion, is they equate words with violence, right? This the mention of that maybe... And I was talking to, it's funny, I sat down and talked to my daughter. Me and my daughter went out and had a cup of a drink together. We went and had some bobas, mm-hmm. right? And we sat there for a couple hours and we were talking about issues and stuff like that. And we were talking about the concept that, you know, words, I mean, we have to have freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that words within them, ideas in within themselves, are just ideas, and we need to have that open platform of debate.
Yes.
Okay.
Healthy.
In the arena of ideas, you know, usually, you know, if left to its natural progression, you know, true ideas always win.
Yes.
Right? And so.
Well, not only true ideas, but the truth also always wins.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what I'm alluding to.
Yes.
And, my daughter, we were talking about, you know, the difference between reason and compassion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, if someone's arguing from compassion, then there is no reason. But if you're arguing, there can be no compassion that hasn't thought of reason and logic first, you know? So, because... If you, you know, you shouldn't do this because it makes someone feel bad, or you shouldn't say that because it makes someone feel bad, that's tantamount to violence. We're not going to get anywhere because that's not rational.
Right.
And so you have to go through the eyes of reason and reason things out before you can actually get to what compassion actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It doesn't mean that, you know, that we are, I mean, if you've ever watched Charlie Kirk, the guy delivers in a way is more that, I mean, hard truth.
He delivers. But he backs it with facts every time.
Right. He delivers hard truths, but he delivers them in a way that's not, in my ideas, threatening.
No, they're not threatening. But you have to realize, and this is a blanket statement. I'm not including all liberals in this. Mm-hmm. But a lot of liberals, you know, how do you come up with a stereotype of people? It's because a lot of those people are that way. That's why you get a stereotype. There's mm-hmm. enough people, right? So I'm stereotyping here, but it's not going to encompass all liberals. Mainly the really, really far left liberals are going to be the ones that are going to be more likely to fall under this. But it's just they think that I don't know what it is to where they can't reason, but... If they think of something, and it doesn't take much, excuse me, doesn't take much for them to start going down this road. But words automatically incite them just like that. They get very offended about the wrong words. If it threatens their existence on how they want things to be, they take that as a threat to them and their way of life, and that's when they start inciting violence. Now, that's the very far left. Just some of the left in general get very offended by words. They may not want the violence, but they still get very offended by that, and they don't know how to reason, because like what you and I have talked about, I think a few times before, Matt, outside the podcast, is that I lost my train of thought here.
That's right.
They tend to want to they want to lead with compassion, like you mentioned earlier, and they want emotion. That's what it is. They want to lead with emotion, and emotion very rarely leads you to, or it doesn't, it won't lead you to reason. It leads you to emotion, and when you start getting emotionally involved, they get their voice gets elevated. They get really extremely just animated, but they don't have any truth or any facts to back it. It's just their emotion, and then when you start throwing and hammering them with facts and truth, they just get further pissed off.
Well, and I think, you know, and I, like I said, I don't want to go too far down the road of why it is. I think the only thing I wanted to stay on is that we need, and I want to kind of table this and get to our other thing, but right. We need to be on the side of allowing everyone to have a voice.
No, I agree. I mean, it's paramount to have a voice. If we don't have, if we're not given, not only in this country, which is the greatest country in the world, but if we lose that right to have a voice, an open voice, every other country in the world is going to fall by the wayside.
Oh, 100%.
And fall right behind us. And you're starting to see that already in some other countries. It is crucial for us to have our First Amendment rights to free speech. We have to have that, no matter if you don't like what other people are saying or you do, that's irrelevant. You know what? Here's a great novel idea, Matt. If you're saying something, not on the podcast, but if, let's say, I'm listening to you from another podcast that you and Parker did, and I don't like what you're saying, rather than getting ticked off and getting mad about it and going out and translating that into something violent, how about you just turn off the podcast? I don't have to listen, right? Mm-hmm. I can put that off to the side and go, yeah, I didn't really like what he had to say. And then it doesn't incite violence. It doesn't do anything except for I chose to listen to something else. Mm-hmm. I chose to make my time to do something different rather than listening to you say something I didn't like.
Right.
That's what liberals or leftists need to learn how to do more is when you don't like something, rather than running your mouth a little bit and getting all offensive about it or defensive, turn it off.
Yeah, no.
Go do something different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I just, you're right. All I wanted to do was touch upon that. I just think there's certain things, this, you know, for our audience, you know, that we're a health and wellness podcast, right?
So we love everybody.
That's right.
We do.
We love everybody. And I love all my clients, no matter their ism, right?
well, some of those isms are a little further out there than others. And again, I don't want people to think that I'm hateful towards liberals or leftists. I'm not. I just think that the reasoning aspect in their brain is just not there, comparative other people, to focus on a reason, and so free speech is definitely key, and you have your right to not like what I have to say as much as I have the right to not like what you say. It's just that you shouldn't be acting on it.
100%.
Just be adults about it and just turn it off.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys. So
we're off our soapbox.
We're off our soapbox. Yes.
Yeah.
And hug and love everybody.
And before we move on, yes. And before we move on to the next topic, prayers and hope for Charlie Kirk's widow and their two young children, because now they'll be raised without a father. And we've all seen those statistics about how kids are without dads in their lives. So
yes,
many, many, many prayers and blessings to Charlie Kirk's widow and her children and their family.
Well, also to the general population,
you know, for everybody. I mean, this is, you know, I pray that everyone ascertains this event in the way that God intends.
I think, well, you're already starting to see, quickly before we go on to the next one, you're already starting to see, I've seen several videos already of devout Democratic individuals that had been lifelong Democrats and have already put out a video. They thought enough of this. They put out videos on the social platform they were on saying, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I've sat here and I've watched you guys do this. Our party has done this, 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 and this. I don't know. He was just speaking peacefully. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know what? I'm not blue anymore. Yeah. I've just turned red.
Yeah.
Sorry. So it's. I think it's been a wake-up call to many people in this country, and I think you're only going to see more as more and more people start celebrating the death. As you start seeing more extreme leftists to celebrate it, I think you're going to see some more of the moderate left people turn to a Republican.
Yeah. Okay. So.
First study.
So this came out. I'm trying to see when this came out here.
Yeah. 2017.
2017.
So 8 years ago, and I bet it's even changed. I bet if they were to do this again, I bet it they would probably have even more numbers to back it up.
Hold on. I think I'm on the wrong study here. Diet study. There we go.
Yeah. 2017.
Yes.
From the Framingham Heart Study.
Yeah. So first bullet point, and I tried to type these up in bullet points.
And this was published, by the way, in the journal Stroke. So I don't. Ooh. Okay. Well.
Sorry, I couldn't get a copy of that before I got here.
Right. No, that's all good. Okay.
So it what we learned from this that drinking just one diet soda.
12 ounces, just one little guy.
One diet soda.
Yep.
A day nearly triples your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease.
That's
which
crazy.
Study shows is 2.9 times higher chance compared to people who rarely touch the stuff.
Right, and that was done, as you had put in here, over 2,800 adults. So that's not a super small study, but it's not a really large study. But it's still 2,800 people. That's a lot. And
yeah.
That's over, these are individuals that are over 45 years of age. So that gives you an idea of who this affects or what this was based on.
And
for a decade, this was a 10-year study.
10-year study, yes.
So a long time.
And this is just this comes after we just did a study of drinking one alcoholic drink per
last
day.
Last week, yeah.
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 So is there an agenda?
There's Matt, come on. We both know there's always an agenda. We always know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to cover some of these highlights on
well,
what you discovered?
I have to preface this. There's someone that is dear to me.
Okay.
That loves Diet Coke.
Is that your wife?
I cannot say.
I think I just said.
Okay. Yeah. I cannot say because she gets tired of me mentioning her on the podcast. So you said it, not me.
I'm sorry. And she listens too. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. So, daily diet drinkers face almost three times the risk of stroke, which is when a blood clot blocks the blood to the brain.
Right.
So,
that's ischemic, I think that's what they said. It's ischemic. Where was that? It's. There was a name of that stroke. Yeah, I can't. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So the point is that, and I, you know, I pulled these points out, but I didn't get a chance what it was in the study, what it was in the Diet Coke that was actually causing that. And I'm assuming it has something to do with those sweeteners.
Oh, I'll tell you, I've got a strong opinion on this. It's ischemic stroke. That's what it is, stroke. So a lot of these, if you look at the sodas, a lot of the diet sodas have aspartame in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also, and I would have to try to, I mean, I'd have to do some good research to try to find the study and how old it is. But there were some results of some tests that had, I'd heard this, this was a story of someone that had drank, had Diet Coke. for a lot forever and ever and ever. Right. And they finally had passed away or something. And it was they had found that the aspartame had been eating holes in their skull from all the sugar, the fake sugar. Aspartame is horrible for you. And my two daughters, my two youngest daughters, my two stepdaughters, they drink it. They drink Diet Coke. They drink Diet this, Diet that. And I'm just, I cringe every time they have one. I can't do anything about it because it's, you know, they're not going to listen anyway. They want to drink it. But aspartame is horrible for you. And that is, I think, sucralose is probably not quite as bad, but it's still bad enough. And aspartame is the worst, in my opinion.
Well, as you were talking, I did a quick search. The studies suggest artificial sweeteners like aspartame.
Yes, horrible.
Or sucralose found in most diet sodas might be the main suspects. Some researchers think the sweeteners could mess with your blood vessels or increase inflammation in the body, which might raise the risk of stroke clots blood. Yeah. So the theory is that artificial sweeteners disrupt your gut bacteria, which can directly affect your heart, brain health over time. As we've always said, you are what is your gut health is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The study ruled out things like sugar-sweetened drinks causing the same level of risk. So it's not about the fizz. It's something specific in the zero-sugar formulas.
Well, and I'll take it one step further. Cyanocobalamin is found in a lot of energy drinks.
Yeah.
You can get methylcobalamin. Methylcobalamin is a lot better for you than the cyanocobalamin. The cyanocobalamin is made from a derivative of cyanide, which obviously they're killing you slowly by just putting a very small amount of that in their drinks. But also, I've also heard, and I don't know if it's erythritol or xylitol, but one of those two sweeteners is also, they're finding that it's not very good. It has something to do with the blood-brain barrier as well, I think, from what I was reading recently. And I forget if it's, like I said, the xylitol or the erythritol, and you can find some of those sweeteners in gums.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all these artificial sweeteners are just not good.
No, they're not good. And I just read further. It says that the study speculates sweeteners might affect the endothelial function, which is the linings of your blood vessels, or your glucose metabolism, indirectly increasing cardiovascular risk. The gut microbiome disruption is another hypothesis, as seen in research like a 2014 Nature study, or in a magazine called Nature, that they did a study. When we've talked about these aspartame and sucralose, we've talked about these in the past, but here you have a study that's specifically around diet soda that I have friends and family who drink it.
Mm-hmm. And we all know people that drink
100%,
and drink it a lot.
But we also know, I mean, I have a relative who now has dementia. Okay.
An older person?
Older person.
Okay.
But technically, that has more to do with the years and years of diet soda, the years and years of the foods that we eat.
Right.
You know, piling up the plastics, the breaking down.
The metals.
The metals. Yeah. I mean, and that's, if you run some of these detox programs that are starting to come out, you can actually potentially reverse dementia. And they've seen it. And, so it is possible to have a situation where someone has dementia, and if they is there, the possibility exists to reverse it.
Yeah, and I wish I had a little more time on to prepare for this topic. I'd have to find it. Anyway, on my Telegram channel on my Telegram app, where mm-hmm. I look at a lot of the goings on and get a lot of my truth stuff, there was a someone had put out a thread regarding dementia and how to reverse Alzheimer's, and I don't believe I ever watched it. I wanted to, and I just hadn't gotten back
sure.
to
getting to see that. There's so much content out there.
But there is. Yeah, and Because you're always, you know, you're wanting, and I think a lot of that stems from, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, I thought I'd part of this to help reverse your dementia is to increase your cholesterol. Because dementia also, it's robbing the brain of its nutrients that it needs to function. And those sweeteners, I think, do a lot of that. But I think a good, healthy amount of cholesterol is supposed to help also feed your brain and to help slow down or reverse some of that.
Isn't it funny how cholesterol has been demonized and still is demonized?
Oh, yeah. hugely demonized. But, yeah. You know, you have to understand there are two different cholesterols. You have the good cholesterol and you have the bad cholesterol. The bad cholesterol, the harder, smaller floating particles in your blood system.
That'd be your oxidized LDL.
Yeah, that's the bad stuff. But if you can get your HDL or your good puffy stuff that's floating like little clouds around in there, you can get more of that.
Yeah.
You know, people, it's funny, it's just doctors hold you down and tell you, oh yeah, your cholesterol's too high, and then they want to put you on statins, which is another bad thing.
Oh, so, statin is absolutely horrible for you.
Yes.
You should never do that.
So, artificial sweeteners are horrible, and I think that I'm pretty sure, I think it's out there that you can increase your cholesterol to help maybe slow down the aging effects of that.
So this basically just kind of is a summation of things we've talked about on this podcast in bits and pieces for the last year and a half.
Right.
So do you want to go to the next study?
Sure. So let me open her back up here. This next study, you have down here that this is a study regarding statistics from UNICEF's 2025 Child Nutrition Report.
Yes.
So this is brand new. So this is this year, titled "Feeding Profit: How Food Environments Are Failing Children." This was released just today. Is what the
14th.
So 4 days ago, this was released. Brand new study. And this says it reveals for the first time, obesity prevalence among children and adolescents aged 5 to 19 has slightly exceeded underweight globally at 9.4% versus 9.2%. The fact, first of all, before I move on with the rest of that statement, the fact that obese kids have now surpassed undernutritioned kids, one, that tells you how far along, in a good way, how far along we've come to feeding more people. Okay, to me, I think that shows that more kids are being fed, they're getting food. But the negative side of that is, although they're getting food and they're getting fed, they're getting fed junk, and they're getting fed lots of junk. This, for them, for our kids to be obese at that rate is alarming. And, you know, have you ever heard, I'm sure you've heard the comment, Matt, that our kids today that are growing up, they're growing up soft?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So what's funny is Megan is a preschool teacher, daycare. She has pre-K. And she gets them outside, and it was warm this last week. You know, it's still summertime, and it was 90, 92 or whatever, and they were outside playing. And not 5 minutes out, and she hears, "I'm thirsty. I want to go inside." She's like, "Oh, my gosh, guys, suck it up. I mean, it's outside. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it."
Mm-hmm.
They would much rather be on a tablet or a phone or doing something,
right,
sitting inside rather than being outside burning off some of these calories and having some actual physical activity.
Right.
It's an alarming trend that I think is going to get even more alarming if RFK Jr. doesn't do anything about it. And I think RFK Jr. is, I think Robert or Bobby Kennedy, however you want to refer to him, I think he's seeing a lot of these statistics such as this, if not even bigger ones, and I'm sure he's going to try to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
So did you want to chime in before I go forward?
Well, I'm not sure I understand this one part. It says it translates to about 188 million children living with obesity, a rate that has tripled since 2000, and a total of 391 million overweight children worldwide. Well, what's the...
Well, it says, so though the report does not indicate that the overweight children outnumber those with normal weight, as normal weight children still make up roughly 70.8% of the global population.
Okay, okay. All right, so...
I bet you it's our country that's
yeah, that's... Well, I mean, I almost want to know how many of that is America.
I bet you it's... I would guess 90-95% easy. I mean, because you're always hearing about how, you know, let's say if you had a group of kids that they studied that were in Spain, you know, you hear about all the time that these other European countries, they go over and you know, you hear people, I have a gluten allergy, or I have a this allergy, but we just got back, we went over to so-and-so, we went to Spain for a week, and oh my God, I was eating the crap out of bread, and it didn't even bother me, I couldn't believe it. Well, it's all the additives we put in that bread. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different, our dietary makeup of our foods that we have are so processed that that's, I think, what's causing all these obesity rates to skyrocket, as well as to expand, is just because all the stuff that we're ingesting every day, it's hard for the body to get rid of. It's a bunch of poisons, and they just compound and compound and compound the more you eat them. And it's just not kids. They're easy to eat. The kids are eating them, and even as active as little kids are, from 5 to 19, and young adults, they're not burning it off. It's just hard for the body to get rid of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've read something down here. It says with children paying the price for corporate profits through factors like widespread junk food ads. Seen by 75% of the kids weekly, even in war zones.
Yeah, that's
that's surprising.
That's an agenda being pushed for sure.
And that's, I don't know, that's kind of surprising to me.
Well, it said the milestone is obesity surpassing underweight in most regions except sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, positioning this as a public health emergency with projected annual costs. Here's the kicker, and this is why we see all these kids that are obese. $4 trillion by 2035 due to lifelong health issues for type 2, like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, certain cancers, and mental health challenges.
Yeah.
Four trillion, Matt.
Yeah.
That right there, and what you just read about the war zone, kids seeing weekly ads like that in war zone areas, you can't tell me that this is just a coincidence. You can't.
And I think I haven't read it. I think when I first reviewed this study, I think I saw, and it might be in the, I pulled some bullet points out of it. I think I saw somewhere where it's saying that this is a concerted effort.
Oh, but, it has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, just reading the bullet points that you've put down tells me it's a concerted effort to make us fat and lazy and have all kinds of problems. Because what happens, what does that feed, Matt? When we have a population and we're fat and lazy and we have health issues, what two industries?
Medical community.
And medical, and what's the other one? It goes hand in hand with the medical community.
Oh,
big pharma.
Big pharma, yeah.
Yeah, those two are getting rich beyond belief. $4 trillion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's another 10 years from now.
That's why you have all the pharma lobbyists in Washington, D.C.
Lobbyists, you know? To me, there's... Sorry if that's what you do for a living, but to me, lobbying for something is just a fancier way of just being bought and paid for. You're buying and paying for stuff that's not necessarily the correct agenda. It's just the agenda you want to push, and I just don't think that our government needs lobbyists.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
No. Well, it depends on what you're lobbying for. Right?
Well, I mean, you can be lobbying, I guess, for some good things. But... more times than not, it seems like we're lobbying for, or not we,
well,
the lobbyists are lobbying for something that's not good for you.
Well, I mean, my wife works for Kansas Policy Institute, which believes in limited government and responsible education.
Okay, well, I like those two things.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now that's something I definitely think that you could lobby for.
Yeah.
Just not, you know, not other stuff like... lobbying for more regulations in the home building industry, or more more energy codes that are going to hike up the cost of a new home by 20, 30 grand or 40 grand.
Yeah,
you know, those kinds of things, not so much. But limited government and quality education, you bet. I'm all for that.
Well, and I think, like anything, you know, with lawyers kind of have a negative connotation, you know, because there's so many bad lawyers. But there's good lawyers.
Oh, no, there is.
And but I think lobbyists are the same kind of thing. You know, lobbyists, a lot of bad things are brought in by lobbyists, and so they kind of get this connotation. But there's good lobbyists, right?
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah. And equality, not equality, but the ethical treatment of animals, lobbyists for that kind of thing. I mean, there's always good things, but to me, like you said, lobbyists get the negative connotation more times than not, and it's to do something negative rather than positive. So
I was curious what your thoughts on... Okay, so... For the longest time, we haven't had a voice. Because sometimes it's one thing to address these issues, right?
Okay.
And for the longest time, we felt powerless.
Right.
You know, it's like, you can do what you need to do, which is, hey, I'm going to go down to the farmer's market. I'm going to create a connection to a farmer here in town and pay for the food directly because I have a relationship with him. I know he doesn't spray with these pesticides or these growth hormones or whatever it is you're buying. So you can make some of your own choices. You can even grow your own food and slaughter your own food, right?
Right.
That is a massive, that's a huge lifestyle change.
Right? Oh, and a massive undertaking.
Massive undertaking. Mm-hmm. And I know probably four or five people personally that are either have done that or they're in the pursuit or in the process of doing that. I even know someone that I train that is in the process of trying to get on the electrical grid.
You mean off the electrical grid?
Off the electrical grid. And where they're developing their own energy. And
good for them.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, but it's a massive undertaking.
It is because the information for which to do that is not readily available, and they do that for a reason. Because they get more people out there wanting to get off the grid, then they're not going to be getting as much money that they're charging for people to use their electricity. When, you know, I would research that a little bit more, Matt, and do that if I didn't think that, based on what our current president, President Trump, is doing to get rid of a lot of the taxes and things. And I have a feeling that free energy is coming, because Nikola Tesla, back in the day, maybe not quite 100 years ago, maybe roughly 100 years ago, came up and he wanted to give that to the American people. And that's when the elites and the cabal was like, yeah. we can charge for that. So they bankrupted him and took his stole his ideas. And now that's why we get charged for it. So we have the false statement of, oh my gosh, we're pushing the electrical grids to the limits, and we're not doing it. There's ways out there to give us endless energy, because what you don't know is that underneath the earth is a huge energy plane, like a plate, and that's where that all gets drawn from. And we have endless energy. God gave us endless energy. We have just been charged for it for way too long. So I would be researching that if we didn't. I think it's coming to where we're going to start getting some
free energy. And this, you know, and again, that this, I with the people that I know that are going down these roads, some of them started this route a decade ago.
Sure.
And
see how long the process is.
Yeah.
But they want it to take that long.
Yeah. And well, I mean, because it's just a massive undertaking for a variety of different reasons.
Well, and if you're working full time, it's hard to devote full time energy to that.
And it does cost money to get in that position.
Yep.
So that being said, let's talk about a couple of things. What we do now have, someone that's in the administration, the current administration, that is changing more in our food than has been done in probably 7,500 years.
And he's being villainized for it.
Yeah, being villainized for it. But he's changing our food. And, you know, this is where the one thing that outside of RFK, before him, pretty much that was something we all could have some agreement with, with the other side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, health and nutrition is a shared component. And I think the only thing they had an issue with RFK on was his old vaccine thing. So put that aside for a second. His nutritional advice is, me and Parker have been talking about that. I mean, and obviously RFK has been on this thing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But before we knew that, me and Parker have been talking about this since the beginning of the podcast.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. About these chemicals that are in food. And that being said, I don't really see how anybody can be upset about the changes he's making, getting sweeteners and food dyes and preservatives out of our food.
Well, you know what it is. If he's going to try to push that, then you're going to see the other side go against him just because he's for something.
Yeah, 100%.
Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, they're going to go against him because what he wants to do is clean up the food and clean up this and that and the other. And part of that is if he starts cleaning all this up, all these organizations, associations, parts of the government, they're not going to be getting their funding from all this stuff, from all this horrible crap. And it's taking money and pulling it out of the government and out of these other associations. That's why they're fighting so hard for that too, because once he does this, it's going to make them pay, it's going to charge them more money to process it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And not to have to find another better alternative to put in it rather than the junk they're putting in it, because the junk they're putting in it is cheaper, less it's less expensive and it's easier to use.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of skirting a good process. They're finding the cheap, easy way, and they're making tons of money off of it. So he's trying to pull all that out. And that's why they're screaming so hard, is because he's taking away one of their money baskets, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of their money streams. So yeah, that's why they want to villainize it.
I think that's kind of if you leave capitalism to its own, the ism of capitalism to its own singular way of thinking, right? It will go strictly for profit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But
it's also designed for the best companies. It's designed to breed competition and made the best company win. But
yes,
the government does not like competition.
No.
And they will do anything and everything they can to thwart that.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that, I mean, don't get me wrong, guys, I'm 100% a capitalist. It's brought more people out of poverty than any other ism in the history of man. But, you know, if that's where, you know, we need to be concerned about, what we've lost is the concern about our fellow man.
Yes.
Right?
No empathy.
Like, hey, I'm gonna let's just say on a level that is... just between me and you, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make you some brownies, and I'm going to put sucralose in it because I don't really care what it does to you. I know what it can do, but I put it in there anyway because I was able to do it cheaper that way.
Well, and I had some leftover that I didn't. I found out and I didn't. Yeah, I didn't ever want to use it for me because I didn't like it, and I figured I'd just go ahead and use it for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's the lack of me being concerned about your health, right? Right. And you know, what drives me crazy, I can't remember. Oh, it's crumble cooking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love crumble
cooking. I know. But the stuff that's in them is really bad.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then that's probably going to keep me away from... That's a good reason to keep me away from
them.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's been a lot of studies. Like, it's... they're saying that the amount of...
Trans fat.
Well, that and... But the amount of chemicals that are in these cookies is so extreme that the... they're worse for you than like some of the
McDonald's
processed
French fries.
I mean, it's apparently, I mean,
Matt, you know what? You suck. you just ruined my love for crumble cookie, but
well,
wait a minute. I've got to tell you, you suck, but thank you.
Yeah.
Because now it keeps me from wanting one, because they are, oh my gosh, they're
so good. They are so good.
So thank you for the truth bomb.
And I wasn't planning on bringing that up.
No, I'm glad you dropped it out of nowhere, because I don't need to have any of those. And I love them.
But oh, okay, so but here's the thing. So the owner of Crumble Cookie, you know, and this is where people are getting kind of pissed, is like he puts all this shit in his cookies, which is making people get fat and hurts their health and hurts their gut. And he has this really fancy health system in his house. And you're like, okay, and so there's just like this dichotomy of like, hey, he's a big fit guru, but he produces Crumble Cookie, and it's like there seems to be like a lack of empathy for the people you're creating this product for. You know, like I wouldn't have any guilt about producing the Prima bar we had the other day.
Right.
It's tallow. Everything in it is good, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a sweet tooth, you know.
Which I'm going to order some here. I think today or tomorrow I'm running my bar. So.
And, you know, I went and bought a whole pack of Prima bars at Sprouts.
Okay.
Yeah. I already finished them off.
Nice.
But the point is like, you know, being me and you are both this way, is that if we were to produce a product, we want to produce it in a way that's not going to, you know, have long-term effects for our clients.
Well, you want to produce something that you're going to be proud of, that you can feel that you can share with your clients. You don't want to, you don't want to feed them poison. But the way I look at that is, okay, even though he is probably doing something that's not very empathetic, he's got this health system at his house, but he's creating these dietary crap bombs for people to eat. The one thing you have to remember is, he can produce it all he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He is not forcing you to buy that product.
Right.
You have to have some of your own self
awareness.
Just awareness and self. You have to be able to tell yourself, no. Mm-hmm. You are the one. No one else gets inside your body to dictate how you choose to eat your food.
Right.
You have to be self aware. You have to have. You just have to have that desire to want to eat better. And don't get me wrong, you know, cravings come in, and that's why they do this. I think with all the crap they put in it, it makes those cravings stronger. But, you know, on certain cravings, one or half isn't going to kill you, but limit the damage to that. You know?
I think it comes down to what is the perceived perception being portrayed in the brand, right? And
those cookies are darn good.
Yeah, they are darn good.
Yeah.
What is the perceived perception in the brand of any company? And, you know, I will say that some brands, and I'm not going to include Crumble Cookie in this because I haven't seen it in their verbiage, but some brands will go to the extent of calling it health food when it's not even close to health food.
Yeah, I don't get that, though. I don't know how they could do that, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's negligence.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And should not be allowed.
Yeah.
That's because we've redefined what health food is, right? You know.
Well, someone's tried to sneak in that redefinition of health food. It shouldn't be. Health food is always... It should have always been the same as what it's always been. There shouldn't be any redefining any of that. But they do. They quietly sneak in those definition changes.
The other one that, I mean, I have a client that her doctor wanted her to do a vegan diet, and he gave her a list of products that were, and I looked at them, and I went through all the products, and it was all processed.
Yeah.
It's the same processes that exist with your processed dairy or cakes or bread or, you know, whatever it is. To get a vegan burger, the processing is extreme. And it's the same bad ingredients that you find in non-vegan processed
stuff. Yeah, because you have to put a bunch of stuff together to get it to stick to make it look like a burger that's not meat.
Yeah.
But the problem, Matt, when they do that, is no matter how much you trust your medical professional, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a nurse practitioner, whoever it is that you go to, no matter how much you trust that individual, once they give you a list of things that they want you to do or to follow for maybe like a dietary plan, it's up to you to do the research on the things that they're giving you. You need to look into that.
Right.
No matter how much you trust them, because you. Ooh, Someone dropped something.
Hopefully, if they're okay.
You're not, they're not ingesting that. What they're doing is they're giving it to you for you to ingest. So it's before you put it in your body, do the research and look up the ingredients and then ask questions.
Yeah.
That, before you ingest anything, it's your body. Have some self discipline and some self respect.
So hearing from you, and I think I'm in agreement, is that there's personal responsibility.
Oh, absolutely. That's okay. First and foremost in anything is personal responsibility.
But I don't want to forego the responsibility of selling a lie.
No. Everybody, you have to. So companies have the responsibility of doing the right thing, for one.
Right.
But you know as well as I do that that is a big enough business that they're not doing that.
Right.
They are not being responsible companies.
And I think the cover up, or the facade that we've had for decades and decades and decades, was a cover up of the. Was, I should say, primarily covered up by the health community.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would agree with that.
And, you know, so the food, the health community, and pharma, those three companies, or those three industries, had been
deceiving
the public
for
decades.
Yes.
And, you know, it seems like there should be some accountability for that. You know, what that looks like, I have no idea. I mean, but the one thing I will say is that now we have change. We have change that's coming. I'd love to have the discussion of why. I mean, I think I know why, but why the time frame of some of the changes of getting these preservatives and food dyes out of the food is 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. That is too. You know, I do agree that there is change. You have to be so. Don't. I guess you have to be patient. Unfortunately, change is something on a national scale that's going to take a little time. So you can't just snap your fingers and it be changed. Unfortunately, so be patient with that change. I too would like to know why it takes so long. Why they have it. You know, why you can't just say, yeah, in 6 months, we're going to have this out.
I mean, yeah.
You know, 6 months to me is very doable. 2 to 3 years is, I don't understand that. But, you know, just on the side caveat, with all these, with as you mentioned, these companies and these industries doing this for decades, what, grocery stores in the 50s and 60s didn't have half to two-thirds of the items that are in grocery stores now.
Yeah.
So look at all the amount of crap that they've been producing and inventing and coming up with over these last 60, 70 years just to feed us, to poison us.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I think to have food on the shelf to buy at the grocery store, I think if food was done the way it was supposed to be done, this grocery store would be a fraction of the size that they are.
Well, yeah, because there wouldn't be nearly the amount of different varieties of things that you would have to buy, for one. Two, the shelf life of all the produce would be very short-lived, and you would be constantly rotating that stock because mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to sell it. Same way with dairy. If I hope we get to the point of grocery stores carrying raw milk. I think that would be amazing. That way I don't have to make a 30-mile trip every once a week to go out to Oak Grove to get my milk.
Which is crazy.
I'm willing to do that. But anyway, I think if a grocery store could get you, if you could get raw milk, fresh eggs, fresh meats with no preservatives.
Yeah.
It would make the whole grocery store dynamic would change.
Yeah,
and I 100%. Think it would shrink.
Yeah, the stores wouldn't be as big. Just on Saturday, so you know, and everyone who's out there, I probably shouldn't share this with you because I don't want the milk to be gone. But on Saturday mornings between, I think, 7 and noon is about the primary time, at the Redbridge Methodist Church off of Holmes, they have A2 and A1 raw milk there for you to buy.
Now, when you say A2 and A1, what's that?
A2,
is that like skim milk versus whole milk?
No. It's A2 is a type of milk. It's a type of cow, the type of milk the cow produces. A2 is supposed to be better for your gut health. The enzymes, A1 is, they're two different types of cow. I can't remember what, you know, if it's the, I don't know my cows. Parker needs to be here for this.
Well, I didn't know that because where I go, where Parker and I get our same milk, I don't know what those, if it's an A2 or an A1. I didn't. I
usually get A2 because it's, you know, it, sometimes people have a little trouble with A1 and I usually get the A2 milk, and Parker would know more about that. And he, now Parker will say, we've talked about it in the past briefly, and he'll say, I've never had a problem with A1, you know, and
well, it's a steak sauce. I wouldn't want to put that in my milk for sure. Okay, anyway, sorry. And Parker is the fit farmer, so he would know for sure.
Yes. Parker is our dairy expert, so.
Yes. We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, we'll have to
ask
him.
I'd be curious to know what that is, yeah.
And, you know, now I know we've talked about it because we did multiple podcasts on raw milk.
Yeah.
Multiple.
Well, and if, you know what, if you've mentioned, why don't you mention that again, Matt, while I'm looking mine up here real quick. Why don't you mention where you go to get yours?
It's at it's the Old German Brethren. They're an offshoot of the Mennonites, if I'm not mistaken. And they have everything you want. Cheese, bread, fruit, vegetables, honey, activated charcoal, cocoa, everything you can think of. And they have chicken and red meat and Colby, raw milk, cheese, all non-pasteurized. So,
well, and so where Parker and I go, it's Gant Farms, GANT, and I think you can see that on the screen there. It gives you a number. Mm-hmm. It gives you a little small list of what they provide. They have, actually, believe it or not, a skim milk option, as well as cream and whole milk. And, you know, it shows the deposit information on how much they charge for a deposit for your glass jar. And they just want you to bring them back clean every time that you come back. And you can either Venmo them payment or you can pay cash. No checks, but Venmo or cash. And they're out in Oak Grove. I'm telling you, if you say that you have an issue with milk, you're lactose intolerant, it's probably because the pasteurization and the homogenization.
Yes, 100%.
Do not discount buying a half. You can even get a quart. Buy a quart of this milk and try it out. I would feel very surprised if it did not. If you had any issues with that milk, that raw milk it's amazing. And if you don't want to drink it straight up to try it, blend it in with some of your protein and drink it as a shake first and then try it and tell me that you're not feeling better and that you're still having those issues with your intolerance to lactose.
Right.
Because you shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff.
It's amazing stuff. And I love, a lot of times I'll let the cream come off the top and make butter or whipped cream or something.
And that cream settles. You'll see that on the top.
It's about an inch and a half, 2 inches. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, I think we've beat our topics up, brother, and
at nauseam today.
Nauseam today, yeah. And so, guys, episode 62 in the books here at Anytime Fitness and Lee Summit, and you know, always want to give a little plug to. We got some fantastic personal training going on here at Anytime Fitness. We have gone from we've more than tenfolded our personal training sessions here.
Congratulations.
Tenfolded, yeah.
And that is with both Matt and Parker. You can get one or both, I'm sure, correct? It's usually individually.
Well, I don't want to. Yeah, me and Parker are definitely. I'm the head trainer here. Parker's obviously one of our phenomenal trainers here. We have four other trainers
okay,
as well.
Okay, so now that I was not sure. Yeah. I did not know. Okay, so, but a lot of the people that listen to our podcast are familiar with you and Parker.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe as a future podcast, maybe you should have, you and Parker should have the other three or four trainers that are here and do a podcast with them so the rest of the podcast audience gets a chance to know them.
Yeah, we'll have to have them share mic. I only have four mics, so.
But you know what I mean, though. I mean, right. That way you can share the love because as far as I know, like I said, I think a lot of the podcast audience knows you and Parker, obviously, from this podcast. This is your podcast.
Yeah.
So, to help grow the business even more than tenfold, I think get a few of them on here and let the audience.
I think that's a great idea. I think what we should do is just have all the trainers come on and sit and talk about, you know, would come up with, you know, their experiences, how they got into personal training, how long they've been training, you know, what motivates them, why they do it.
Sure.
You know, those are usually wholesome reasons or they're interesting stories.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, so go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
Let's hope that we're wrong about our assessments today.
Yes.
Right? 3:25 is game time against the Philadelphia Eagles, and we'll see how good and how smart we are.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.